Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Welcome to another week of listener favorites. The entire month of December, we're playing programs from this past year that you've told us are your favorites. This week, Dennis Cuddy will discuss how he believes the global crises shaking our world are not accidents. And Dr. Rob Lindstedt will share what's next in Bible prophecy. I want to encourage you, as you and your family prepare for Christmas, remember to check out all of the Bible-based and Christ-centered gifts that are available on our website, swrc.com. With over 1,000 items, you can do your Christmas shopping and at the same time support Watchmen on the Wall. We have gifts from Jerusalem, Christmas-themed movies, and a huge selection of books and DVDs. SWRC.com. Shop for friends and family and support the ministry and outreach of Watchmen on the Wall. SWRC.com. Here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino.
Dr. Dennis Cuddy has written a new book. It's titled Conspiracy 3. Now, friends, what does the word conspiracy mean? A conspiracy is a secret plan or agreement to carry out an illegal or harmful act, especially with political motivations. So Dr. Cuddy has written a new book, Conspiracy 3. It's an amazing book. We usually do two programs with an author, but we're going to do three programs with Dr. Cuddy. This book is, I might say it's a compendium. He gives so much historical information. He can follow so many trails to show what's happening today. This is very, very deliberate. We are going to give you an opportunity to get your own copy of the book. In a few minutes, we'll do a promo. Dr. Cuddy, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
We have been involved in costly and sometimes very bloody wars, or, quote, military actions. America gets involved in fighting wars in other countries, like in Iraq, but America doesn't profit. Seems like the power elites are the ones to profit. How does that work? What are we doing wrong? Why are the costly wars being fought? They don't help us. They disgrace us. Talk to us a little bit about that.
The first thing the listeners need to understand is that the power elite controls things. They sit above presidents, and they will manipulate events to their own satisfaction. For example, there's a lot of profit for arms dealers in having wars. And there's, over a period of time, what I try to emphasize is things that are important that the average person doesn't know about, such as 9/11. 9/11 didn't have to happen. It was easily preventable. That's something I think the people would be interested in knowing. I also include historically, like the Illuminati. A lot of people say, well, there's no Illuminati. They didn't exist. Well, they actually did. And if a person wants to, they can look at one of my other books, Power Elite, Their History and Future, and find out all about them. But wars and rumors of wars is mentioned in the Bible. And therefore, it's going to be. And there will be an Armageddon. There will be certain things, if you look at the Bible, that are going to happen. And what they've done is distracted the average person. And they're very clever psychologically. When we were talking before we went on the air about Edward Bernays, for example, he was the father of public opinion. He was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And he would manipulate, I'll give you an example of the manipulation. Tobacco companies wanted to increase their sales. Women, largely 100 years ago, didn't smoke. They didn't at all. And so they figured, well, women don't like a strong tobacco, so we'll have a menthol. And so Lucky Strike had a red bullseye on the cover of each pack, and they wanted a green for the menthol. What they did was they knew that women are interested in fashions. Edward Bernays went to the Garment District of New York and told them to make red and green the fashion for the next year. They did, and bingo. Women became as stupid as men and started smoking. So we're often manipulated. Now, what happened when you go to the 60s is when the control mechanisms start to take place. What happens is you had the sleepy Eisenhower years of the 1950s, you know, Andy Griffith sitting on the porch and all
yes.
that. But by the 60s, what happened was George Orwell's 1984 became very important in terms of psychological manipulation. They would quicken the tempo of human life. The hero was Winston in that book, and the villain, Big Brother's agent, was O'Brien. And Winston said, "We will never succumb to Big Brother." And O'Brien said, "Oh yeah, you're going to come to love Big Brother. And what if we quicken the tempo of human life?" So that's what they did in the 60s. Things started getting faster. You know, a woman might say, "Oh, I got to pick up Johnny for ball practice. I got to get Susie for ballet practice. I got to go. And why that's important is if you quicken the tempo of human life, people don't even have time to think. I remember when I was back in the 60s, I would hear people say, women especially say, "I don't even have time to think about it," you know?
Right.
And if you do that, you force people to make decisions based on emotion. And emotion is easily manipulated. That's why they wanted to do this. And so you would have the hippies, you know? And what you did was you turned a basically Christian nation into a non-Christian nation with the hippies. You know, you were in drugs. And the hippies' mottos were, "What's in it for me? Look out for number one, and free love." And they did that in one generation, and then that fits the communist secret plan.
Right.
Because they wanted to take one, to say, "Just give us one generation, and we'll have them. We'll have them to be able to control them." And they said, "Well, it's the beat. Boom, 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 boom." And that turns into a mantra, like a Hindu mantra, and it sinks into your subconscious. It actually takes over your mind.
Right.
I wrote an article in the Orlando Sentinel about how these boys committed suicide. And before one of them died, he says, "It was like the music took over my mind. I had no control over myself." And that's where the power elite wants us. They want us to be under their control. And Bertrand Russell, who is one of these important members, wrote a book, The Impact of Science on Society, in the early 50s. And he says, "When we get people to that stage, we won't even need police. We won't need police. We'll be able to manipulate them and control them. Have wars, you know, have wars and make them do whatever we want to." So if you go into, let's say, recently, the Trump election of 24 and the one earlier, I can actually show that the election was rigged. I can give proof. And something else beyond that. Something else beyond that. And then what you would find is not only rigged, but fraud. Fraud. There's two things. And it's important what I'm telling you, the listener. I want the listener to pay attention to this. The seed money for Google was put up by the CIA and the National Security Agency. And so they share information about us. And Google bought a thermostat company. Now, Google doesn't have any reason to have a thermostat company, except they placed a little listening device. This is not the older one, but the newer thermostat companies are Google's, right? And so they placed a little listening device, and they can hear everything you say, your private sex life, whatever it is. I told this to a fellow at a UPS store, and he said, "You know, I thought something funny was going on." He said, "So I went home, and I turned off the TV, the computer, everything just off. Everything off. And I sat there talking to myself." He said, "And I would say, blah, 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 Smith's prune juice, blah, 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 Smith's prune juice, blah, blah, blah." Within 1 hour, there was an ad for Smith's prune juice on his social media. On his media.
Wow.
So they know everything you're doing. You people who are listening to us now, they know everything you're doing. and they've created profiles on you. They've created profiles, and they know everything about you. They know what buttons to push to make you respond in a certain way. So it's a control mechanism. They're controlling us now without us, as Brené said, without us even knowing it.
Well, all of that, you have written a lot on that. You've followed all the lines, the proofs. You know, people sometimes say, you guys are crazy. Well, you know, you've documented it, it all. It's very important.
Yeah. I was a historian. I taught history at university. And I appreciate what's called primary evidence. You have to be able to document things. Like, for example, Reverend Snyder, 200 years ago, wrote to President Washington in 1798, and he said, Mr. President, do you know the Illuminati's here? And George, and I put a copy, a handwritten copy of Washington's response, and he said, yes, I know they're here. And see, what happened was, this was historically progressive, right? Citizen Genet was connected with, in the French Revolution, everybody became their own citizen this and citizen that, supposed to be equal, right? So he was sent to Russia first. It was a start in Russia. But Catherine the Great wasn't stupid. She found out what he was up to. So she kicked him out. He came over here to South Carolina, worked his way up through the Carolinas and Virginia and so forth into Pennsylvania, where they had the Whiskey Rebellion. Now, they call themselves democratic societies, but I was very suspicious about this. So I asked the Librarian of Congress, James Billington, who was a Rhodes Scholar, to get a copy of, there was only one copy in the Library of Congress, of a book by John Wood, I think it was called The Clintonian Faction of the Columbian Illuminati. And I put their oath right next to the first oath of the Illuminati, and they were exactly the same. They just didn't want people to know that they were here. So that's the historical approach to this thing. It goes over many, many years. It involves the Civil War. People have no idea what the Civil War was about. No idea what it was about. And you would say, okay, it was to free the slaves. It wasn't to free the slaves. I mean, I'm glad the slaves are free. I'm glad. But it wasn't to free the slaves. If the purpose had been to free the slaves, why didn't Lincoln and his friends, his allies in the North, free the slaves in 1861? They didn't. 62, they didn't. 63, they didn't. The Emancipation Proclamation only applied to the South. 64, they didn't. 65, they didn't. Until December 18th, when the 13th Amendment went into effect. Why? Because the Northern textile mills, one of which my father and grandfather worked for, and Pacific Mills in Lawrence, Massachusetts, my father was from Massachusetts, they benefited greatly, greatly from that cheap slave pick cotton. So this idea of the virtuous North and the evil South is nonsense. Only 13% of Confederate soldiers even had any slaves. They were out there, you know, planting the potatoes and working in the fields just like a slave. And that Harriet Beecher Stowe, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin. But I'm not saying it didn't happen that slaves were beaten, the field slaves were beaten. But it didn't make sense. You didn't want to beat up a prime field hand. So there's been a lot of untruth. I could go on and on, but I'll stop with that. I'm just saying they hide a lot of stuff from us.
Right. Let me jump in here with a promo, because I know our listeners will want to get your new book. The title of Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book is Conspiracy 3. You will want your own copy of Conspiracy 3. There's no way we could cover all the information on these programs, and even if we could, you could not remember it all. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Just give us a call and we can get you this information. Dr. Cuddy, when you speak about manipulation and you speak about things going on behind the scenes that, quote, just happened, they've all been manipulated. Now, there's something that you write about. You say that both the Soviets as well as the communist Chinese, were funded by the power elite. And even the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, it was portrayed as a great victory for President Kennedy against the Soviets, but you say it wasn't.
No.
Was this because of some kind of a dialectical process? How does that all tie in with this?
Well, that's part of it. There was a book, a very good book, by Graham Allison, a Harvard professor, called Essence of Decision. Essence of Decision. And it was about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And if you just were logical, you would see what a farce that was. At that time, they had nuclear-armed submarines off the coast of Boston, New York, Washington, New Orleans, Los Angeles, San Francisco. They did not need an ICBM from Cuba just 90 miles away. What, to hit Detroit? They didn't need to hit Detroit. If you knocked out all those cities, we were dead. We were gone. They didn't need it. So the people in the Kennedy were conned. They were conned during the thing.
You know, this is really interesting. There are so many ways we could go, but as we began the previous, at the very beginning, you said that 9/11 was preventable. Tell us about that, because we know it was very embarrassing to us to see this happen on our own soil. You know, we're usually kind of, well, we're safe, nobody can reach us. But this was preventable. Tell us about that.
All right. First of all, Osama bin Laden was our guy. We trained his people for the Mujahideen, and we gave them the shoulder-launched rockets to use against the Soviet helicopters. That's what won that particular thing. Now, what happened is, I give the story as Little Timmy. I call him Little Timmy. Could have advised George W. Bush. The summer before 9/11, what happened was, there was a publication that was even in Northwest Airlines FlightAttendants.com. It was that pervasive. And it was by a Bill Gertz. And he was recounting how at Wakilah Abad Air Base in Iran, they were practicing hijacking planes and crashing them into our important buildings. So it's right there. You know, it's coming, guys. Now, what Dick Cheney said, and Dick Cheney was really running foreign policy at that time, he said, well, we thought it was going to be an attack against our interest overseas, right? But the information was so serious that by August the 1st, George Bush, President George W. Bush, was given a presidential memorandum that said bin Laden determined to strike in the U.S. So here comes little Timmy, George is sitting around with his visors, and he says, little Timmy, what do we do? Little Timmy says, well, the first thing you got to do is figure out where they might hit. And little Timmy tells him, well, we don't know, but a good place might be the World Trade Center since they tried to blow it up in 1993.
Right. Dr. Cuddy will be back with us for two more shows. Be sure to tune in again. And we're going to pick up where we left off. And as you can see, Dr. Cuddy is an expert. He spent many, many years in studying this material. He loves the idea of getting primary evidence. And I think so important that we do that. And he does that. And this will fill you with knowledge and understanding. Dr. Cuddy, we're looking forward to another program tomorrow.
Thank you.
What if the global crises shaking our world aren't accidents, but are part of a carefully crafted plan? In Dennis Cuddy's new book, Conspiracy 3, uncover the chilling connections between Klaus Schwab, the legacy of Nazi ideology, and the push for a one-world government. From pandemics to political chaos, this explosive book explores how world powers may be using the classic Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, to manipulate society into accepting the so-called Great Reset. Conspiracy 3 by Dennis Cuddy. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Conspiracy 3 on our website, swrc.com. If you've ever suspected there's more to the headlines than meets the eye, Dennis Cuddy's new book, Conspiracy 3, will confirm your instincts and open your eyes. 1-800-652-1144. Josh Davis comes now with an important update on this year's calendar and how you can minister to prisoners.
Friends, thank you so much for your prayers and partnership with SWRC in ministry. It's because of you that we can continue some of the vital outreaches that we have, such as the Onesimus Prison Ministry. Today, I'm going to share letters that we recently received from inmates across America. I'm talking about Georgia, Arizona, Oregon, spread out from the southeast to the southwest to the Pacific Northwest. And so we've got these letters that we want to share with you to update you on the impact that this ministry is making thanks to your partnership with us in ministry. We're able to hear these kinds of stories and to have this kind of relationship, this kind of impact in inmates' lives because of your faithful prayers and your financial partnership with us in ministry. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, dear friends. And please don't forget, our annual calendar is here. For every calendar that you purchase from Southwest Radio Ministries, you're enabling us to send two calendars free of charge to an inmate across America, much like the ones whose letters I'm sharing with you today. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of others, and literally thousands of inmates that we will be sending calendars to free of charge this year. When you purchase a calendar from our ministry, you're enabling us to send it to an inmate free of charge. If you'd like to do that right now, you can go to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Again, the number is 1-800-652-1144. Here's a letter that we recently received from an inmate. He writes, "Dear SWRC, I'm one of the prisoners that you reach. I have no money that I can donate. On this envelope, it mentions that my support begins with my stamp." That's something that's a hallmark of our return envelopes, that we have that in the corner. That's what he's referring to there. "My mission begins with my stamp." He goes on to write, "My hope is that these few stamps that I have can help." I hope you caught what the inmate has said here. He says, "I don't have any money. I can't help you and support you financially," but he did enclose some stamps. Just what he could do to further the ministry here. And that really has touched my heart, dear friends, to think about the blessing that the ministry is to him and the value that he sees in it. And even though he cannot give financially, he wants to give something so desperately that he enclosed a few stamps to help us along. What a great blessing this is, and how it really did touch my heart. He goes on to write, "I believe in your mission and ministry. I greatly appreciate the calendar, the newsletters, the books, and the personal letters that I've received from your great organization. These books and resources are wonderful, and they're shared with many others. The newsletters also are shared with other faithful brothers. Your calendar reminds me daily of the love from a forgiving God. My body is imprisoned for the crime I committed. However, my spirit is free because of His grace. Before my incarceration, my life was busy. I didn't take time to be with my Savior. I'm grateful for my punishment." Can you imagine saying that? Here's an inmate writing, "I'm grateful for my punishment. This simply is what it took for me to realize that I was a sinner and my actions were condemning me to hell. It's only after the distractions of the free world were removed that I truly became free. I know where I will spend eternity. This life is only an eye blink compared to eternity. Organizations such as yours have and will be an important part of my salvation. SWRC is in my prayers daily. I thank you all for all that you do." What a touching letter that is, and we received that from an inmate here in America. And you see the impact that the Southwest Radio Ministries Onesimus Outreach is having on many lives, such as our friend whose letter I just shared. I've got a couple more letters I want to share with you, updates from inmates across America. One female prisoner writes us, "Hello, can you please send me a 2026 calendar and any new books that you might have? Also, can you pray for my mom? She recently found out that she has stage 3 lung cancer. We were able to put in a request for a calendar and a free discipleship book and send this to this inmate. And also we sent a personal letter letting her know that we are certainly keeping her mother in our prayers. That's the motto of SWRC. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. And because she's writing to request a calendar, she also asks us to pray for her mother. And we are more than happy to do that and to add her mother to our prayer list. One last letter I want to share with you on today's update. And this comes from another dear inmate, one that we've been able to build a relationship with via mail. And we thank God for that avenue. Hello, my blessed brother. I hope all is well with you. I can't help but be grateful to our awesome Father for you and all my extended family of brothers and sisters in the Lord there at SWRC. I am blessed to have you all in my life. I can hardly wait till heaven. And I said, prayerfully consider how you can partner with SWRC and give us a call, 1-800-652-1144, or visit us online, swrc.com.
When you join hands with SWRC, you are ministering to thousands by providing accurate Bible teaching and gospel resources. You enable us to continue our ministry to inmates, to people who desperately need prayer. Your support today enables us to pray with hurting people across America. Our pastors have prayed over the phone with many people, like a Christian lady who's seeking forgiveness and reconciliation with someone she has wronged, a lady who just found out her cancer has returned, and a young man who needs a place to live. Our staff knows that God has called us to this ministry. We believe God is about to do something big through Southwest Radio Ministries. The signs of His providential works are all around us. We're walking by faith through this financial battle. We realize there's a spiritual component to the battle. The spiritual forces of evil hate what we're doing. They hate that we took a major step of faith in bringing back the Prophecy in the News television show this summer. They hate that the staff gives every drop of energy they have to promote God's truth. They hate that the ministry is creating more content than it has in years. And they hate that an army of watchmen on the wall is rising around the world, standing fearlessly upon God's word. Would you stand with us in this fight with a gift today? Please call right now and show your support. 1-800-652-1144. You can also give on our website, swrc.com. Please, friends, don't wait. We need to hear from you today. 1-800-652-1144. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. Visit swrc.com to learn more.